That I don't know why I didn't transition. I was gonna do like a
yeah, that, I kind of forgot. I was kind of waiting.
I just had to
for
like
it.
Pause. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to Bad Film Good, the podcast where we look at poorly rated movies, of course, and we ask the question: is this bad film good? My name is Declan,
and I'm
done.
Poor effort. I apologize.
And today, for our belated spooky episode for Halloween, it has already come and gone.
It's
November now. But it was the earliest, maybe, that we could do this. I don't know exactly.
I think we might
have been able to do it earlier, but I think it was the earliest we could do it. We will be looking at Five Nights at Freddy's.
Ooh.
There's no vampires.
No. Or many scares, but we'll get into that.
Van animatronic. But yeah, before we get into all things, Eden, why don't you tell us what is Shrek-ing today?
Fuck's sake. This is an article from the Scottish Sun, which is relevant.
Oh,
and you'll see.
I thought there was only... Is there a Scottish sun? I thought there was just like one sun.
No, Scottish
sun. Like in the sky.
Comes out in like February to about mid-March and then goes away. So their summer ranges for about a month and a half. And then it's darkness.
Oh. It's the more you learn about Scotland, they spend most of the year in perpetual darkness until they get the Scottish sun.
Which is
that arises for a month.
Yeah. The normal sun. Yeah. I mean, every other
it's
country
hotter
has,
than a normal sun.
Yeah. But every other country has the normal sun. But which normally would be the same for Scotland, but because the smog is so thick, Scotland doesn't get the sun.
You all think that the smog left London, back in the Victorian ages or whatever the fuck. But actually, we just blew it up to Scotland. So.
Yeah, with a big fan.
With a big fan and a lot of...
Winston Churchill or whoever
himself.
Is in Paris. Yeah, it was Winston Churchill. He was like,
we shall blow them on the beaches.
We shall blow them on the beaches. I'm also very racist. Oh, yes. Winston Churchill, I believe in Aryan stock.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for me, you'd all be speaking German.
Oh,
which means hell. I can say and do whatever I want.
Yeah, brilliant. The immutable argument. The ends of arguments.
We won't get much into that. But yeah,
anyway,
so this article, Scottish
we
Sun.
Only got involved because we were worried we'd get attacked as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Let's carry on. He was a massive racist. He got kicked out of before the end of the war, but it doesn't matter.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
National hero. WWE star says Scottish...
Winston Churchill.
Yeah, this is a quote from him. Actually, honestly, not that far off. Says all Scottish women look and talk like Shrek in brutal assessment of country.
What?
Yeah.
Who is this?
So, the Aussie wrestling star has also been embroiled in an ugly spat with Taylor Swift fans. I have no idea who this guy is. I'm sure if we
you don't
want
to fight Taylor Swift fans. I feel like they're almost the level of like, it's like BTS, right? You don't insult BTS. Otherwise, their fans will literally kill you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, if you're insulting J-Hope or Jimin, I'm on board. You know, VRM.
Don't do
I'm
it.
Like,
don't
I'm
do
like,
it.
I'm like, no, I'm just saying. V and RM, I'm like, yeah, they're all right. J-Hope and Jimin, you leave them the fuck alone. Leave my Hobie alone.
Oh, I don't. Oh, I thought you were saying you're on board to fight.
No.
I don't know any of these.
I know people. You don't. That's don't why I'm saying this.
You're speaking alien words to me right now.
Smooth like butter, like criminal undercover. I'm very
is this lyrics?
Way. Yeah. I don't know very many lyrics. So WWE star Grayson
it's
Waller.
Fine. We could put hashtag BTS in the tags for this now. So.
I will. Yeah. And Grayson Waller, I don't know if that surely isn't his stage name. Grayson Waller, WWE star. That's shit. What happened to like the Punisher, like Triple X or whatever the fuck? The Rock.
They're like, oh, we really wanted to bring it home and give you a really grounded name. Call you Jeff Pinkleton.
Jeff Pinkleton. He's actually got much more interesting name, but they dialed it down.
They dialed it down. It's sad what society does to people.
So Grayson Waller Grayson Waller is engaged in a brutal spat. Aww. He's engaged with Taylor Swift, but he's coming at their fans though. His name is the Aussie Grappler. That makes more sense.
Okay, Aussie Grappler.
he's now turned his attention to Scotland. Waller, 33, has made a big splash since making his WWE debut in 2021, and he's on his way to becoming one of the top. Becoming one of the promotion's top star. What does it mean, promotions?
I guess just like the WWE. I don't know how that shit works. America.
After becoming part of the long-running SmackDown brand this year, he's gone on to spar with legends including John Cena and The Edge. Is John Cena still doing that?
Because I saw a thing recently with The Rock. I think that they do like cameo reappearances now and then to be like, you remember this guy? And everyone's like, oh my God, I remember this guy. I don't know if John Cena's still doing it. He might still be. He's deaf. I feel like he might be more involved than The Rock, but I'm saying that with literally no qualifications or expertise.
Yeah, I have no context for any of this.
I'm going to say they're both doing it full time. And whenever we see them in movies, they shot it in between their breaks.
Yeah, that makes more sense, I think.
Yeah.
So just last week, he managed to infuriate fans of pop star Taylor Swift, taking aim at Taylor Swift's relationship with NFL star Travis Kelce. Smashed it. Waller said, good for Trav. I'm not the sort of guy that would... Oh, sorry, he should be Australian.
Oh, good for Trav, mate. Not the sort of the guy who would settle for a six, but each to their own.
For me personally, I like a little spice. I like a 9 or a 10. The post branding Swift a six was met with some furious... replies at the pop star's fans rushed to defend her.
That's so bait. That is 100%. That's just bait.
That's just Aussie banter,
mate. Riling up. It's just Aussie banter. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck's sake. Everyone like, she's a 10.
Yeah, it'd be like him going, oh, fucking Taylor Swift can't. And she's like, and they're like, oh, he said the C word. And he's like, nah, it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. I use it every other bloody word, mate. But yeah, another few. Oh, these are quotes from the Taylor Swift feud. We don't give a shit about that. Prior to performing, Waller went. He went to Glasgow then because it was doing WWE in Scotland or whatever. Which is just bloody the streets of Glasgow. Am I right?
Bloody got him.
So he went for a walk around Glasgow wearing a winter jacket. Why does this matter? He shared a selfie in the self. He posted a snap alongside a rather brutal assessment of the country. He commented, "Scotland is great. It's dark before 5 p.m, freezing cold, and all the women look and talk like Shrek." His post unsurprisingly resulted in plenty of responses. Someone commented, "My thoughts and prayers are with you, my guy."
Brilliant.
There's more comments. It's a typical Sun article. It's like, let's just steal what people have said about this in response,
yeah,
and I'll
fluff
just
it out.
get my word count. A WWE has several Scottish stars on their roster, including former women's tag team champion Isla Dawn. Is that the one they made a film about? Doesn't matter. Anyway, the Glasgow-born wrestler responded to Waller with a gif of Shrek shouting, "What are you doing, my swap?" Basically, this guy was like, "Yeah, bloody Scotland." And people were like, "Ha ha ha." And then he was like, "Bloody Taylor Swift." And then people were like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, I fucking cut
Look,
you."
You don't mess with fandoms that are, especially ones that are like primarily
predominantly white.
I was just going to say like that age range of like,
yeah,
the sort of teens. Like, early to late teens. I feel like it even covers a wider area than that, but I feel like that's the more the, like, base kind of, you know, it's the very social media generation kind of,
yeah, kind of deal. I didn't realize, like, but Taylor Swift transcends that thing, though, because people love Taylor Swift.
Oh, it's, yeah, like, 100%. Somebody from work was in a waiting list to get tickets to go see her, and he eventually managed to get them, and they were pricey, like stupid expensive.
Someone was telling me that, I think it was like someone at their work potentially, it's like a guy in his late 40s got tickets, like did the thing, got tickets in the queue for Taylor Swift, and went by himself because he only got one ticket, and he's like, "Yeah, fuck you, I'm going by myself. Fuck my family."
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a wide range of, you know, of audience.
Yeah, we...
You know what? Good on her.
Yeah, we stan Taylor Swift. And
although...
We'll perform her song now.
Oh, no.
Of...
Her song.
Her song.
Oh, no. Try I feel like we should
one.
Move
Have
on before
one?
We get... before we get, like, a cease and desist or something.
Have you got one? I don't know any.
I don't really.
All right, let's get
22. That was
right,
one.
Yeah. You
anyway,
right, you carry what? You carry the podcast. I'll get some.
no,
some...
End this bit. All end right. this bit now.
All right.
I'm Are telling you... you.
Okay, I'm ending it. You continue. I'll just. Do
He's
something.
Lying. I can hear this is Aiden's lying voice. Oh, fuck me. He's just gonna burst out with some in a minute. Well, while he does that. Sometimes you have to ride the bit out and just wait for it to pass. You know?
No, we could continue.
fuck you. Right, so Shrekking aside, and I would say Taylor Swifting aside, but I'm sure it will come back in a minute. We did, this week, watch Five Nights at Freddino's, which is now a movie. So that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. I think supposedly
I didn't realize had been in development hell for like
God knows how long. Supposedly people have been waiting for this for years, which I was unaware of. I think we should preface. Let's do the facts first, and then we'll get into it.
Okay, I should be fine to still fuck me. I don't know why it's done it. This happens very occasionally. The trackpad on my laptop has just decided to stop working.
Make it up.
I normally have to literally like turn the laptop off and on again for it to work.
Just
which is annoying.
Just imagine what it would say.
But I can't access, like, my Inspirobot. I can't access the...
Oh, default went for me, then.
No. No. Why did I do this? I didn't even do anything.
Well, why the show must working? Go on. So,
because I can turn the trackpad off manually.
So, a troubled security guard begins working at Prezzy Fazbear's Pizza.
You can't take this from me.
During his first night on the job, he realizes that the night shift won't be too easy to get through. Pretty soon, he will unveil what actually happened at Freddy's. Aiden, why don't you tell us some facts about...
Oh, Aiden, the show. I see where we're going now.
Yeah, don't mind if I do, Deeks.
Is this German Aiden? What was that?
Yeah, don't mind if I do. Fuck me.
Right, I'm gonna have to pause the recording and see if I can save it.
Gonna derail quickly.
And we're back.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, still here.
We had French Aiden. We don't need German Aiden.
French
as well.
Aiden is dead. I killed him.
Actually, oopsie. I don't know which one I prefer, to be honest.
I think you'll find by the end of this, you prefer French Aiden, yeah?
Oh, no. We're gonna. Do you know what? It's probably good that the podcast is ending soon before we make our way through too many offensive stereotypes.
I think so.
For fuck's sake! The trackpad's
now.
Working again. So, all right, goodbye, German Aiden. All right, fucking.
Oh, we should.
Oh my god! I wonder what that noise was for a second. I don't know whether you're going to hear this in the recording. Just like it was in the previous place, it's the. The washing machine is currently on, and I can literally hear it, like, I thought somebody was knocking really, really, like, hard and fast on the door or something.
Yeah,
like
German Aiden.
Like,
he's
super
come for
urgent.
You.
Oh, no.
He's taken French Aiden, now he's coming for you.
He's coming for me.
He liked the bit where it was just me and German version of me, and he wants it to return.
Well, look, we get to episode 100. You can take it over if you want. I don't mind. Anyway, let's get fucking rolling with this.
Yeah, yeah.
So you stole my bit.
So do you want to do the facts and stuff about the film?
No, you steal that. I have to do work to find that stuff out now. It's too late. I haven't got anything prepped. You bloody do it.
Right. Well, it's directed by Emma Tammy. No, don't ignore that. It stars Josh Hutcherson, Pippa Rubio, Elizabeth Lail, Matthew Lillard.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, baby.
Woo! He's back, baby. And he's sexier than ever. Mary Stuart Matteson and Kat Connor Sterling and Steve Musqueam. it currently has a score of 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 34 Metacritic liked it. It had a budget, this is surprising, it had a budget of 20 million, which is damn impressive. Even with, like, I mean, we'll get into it, but that's impressive.
Yeah.
And it's made 149 million, which is impressive because it's gone straight to streaming as well.
Like,
it's on streaming services now. It's gone to.
What the fuck? I did not know that.
It's one of those films where it's like, oh, we've had it for a week now. Let's just put it on whatever it is.
Wow.
I'm trying to find out where it's gone.
Because isn't it like Blumhouse's like second biggest opening weekend or something?
Yeah, I think
it's what I had heard. It's like huge for them. They've already greenlit another one.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you watch the film, you're like, yeah, I mean, they knew this.
They knew.
But let's get into it. I can't find out where it's gone to. I know it's gone to streaming. Oh, you can buy it on the App Store.
Yeah.
Store. No, that's the game. Ignore that.
But okay, do you know what would have been funny, to be fair? Because I wondered why your synopsis that you read out was longer than what mine looked like. And it's because mine just cuts off midway through. And it's on the View website as well. It just cuts off. It just doesn't bother telling you the rest. You know, he realizes the night shift at Freddy's won't be so easy to...
To what? To what?
Yeah.
If anything, exactly. That's scarier than the film.
yeah, than the film was.
So
yeah, we're going to do a bit of free form with it because obviously we were in the cinema, so we weren't really making notes.
Yeah, I mean, so I've,
we might
I've
go a bit back
prompts,
and forth,
but
Aiden's got some prompts. It will be spoiler
heavy. Spoilers.
We've got to go full spoilers.
Full boilers. So that's right.
You've been warned. Not that it really matters.
They're
for this
turning
movie.
The heat up to 11. Full boilers.
Yeah.
So. I mean, just briefly, the story is like Josh Hutcherson. We find out chronologically because I can't remember what film it's what order it happens in the film, but chronologically, he's a young boy, and his family are having a nice camping trip, and then some guy nicks his brother, and because he was meant
the trees.
Right out the just picks him up and nicks him. And because he was meant to be watching his brother, he feels guilty. So every night, he believes in dream theory or something. Which is like a legit thing that people... there's science to it. I don't know much about it. I just know it's a real thing. But essentially, he dreams about it every night to try and find out who the bloke was that nicked his brother. For
try and
some
catch
reason.
Details. Yeah, that you might have missed.
Yeah, exactly. So fast forward to present day, which is actually the early 2000s, but that doesn't matter. He's struggling to find a job because he's so unhinged. About that trauma. It turns out his mum and dad, his mum killed herself. Because she just couldn't, that grief would be, insurmountable, so that's why. And then I think, I don't know if the dad's still alive or something.
I think
but
he is.
He's
I think
he's
he
gone.
Said that the dad just left because he couldn't handle everything.
Yeah, because that's a
do
lot.
Do we know the mum killed herself? Did he say that she did that or just that she died?
I can't remember. I duck it to be she... did because
she couldn't handle
she couldn't the, handle the, it
couldn't handle the truth
couldn't handle the truth so because of all that Josh Hutcherson is looking after his sister, so I guess they had a daughter afterwards, but anyway
I didn't even think about that.
It's just a bit
she's
like,
pretty young
she's
pretty young. She's got to be like 10?
Yeah.
Maybe?
So
about 10, maybe?
I don't know. It's just like... the
10
whole
years
thing,
is still a long time.
It's a long time. But I was like, I was a bit confused at first because I was like, Josh Hutcherson is quite a young dad in this. Like, I don't really... What's the thing? And then you find out that it's his sister and you're like, oh, okay, I get the vibe. So he finally goes to a careers advice person who's Matthew
that's
Lillard.
Like job seekers.
Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm sure he's not relevant to this. The fact that Matthew Lillard is the careers advice person, but hey.
I'm sure he's not only going to be in this for 5 minutes.
And he's like, I don't know. I can't really help you because you're kind of unhinged. Wait, your last name is this, I see. That's interesting.
Oh, I forgot about that in the beginning.
Yeah, which is... We'll get into it.
fuck me.
Yeah, because... he's like, oh, your last name's this. Well, maybe I do have a job for you. Come work at... Five Nights at Freddy's. whatever it's called.
It's called like Freddy Fazbear's. Is it just named after him?
I don't know.
Freddy Fazbear's.
But Sammy. Yeah, come work there. Be a security guard. It's shit, but it's a job. And he's like, yeah, I'll take anything. Because his aunt, which is something we'll also get into, aunt wants custody of his sister. And if he doesn't get any job, then it's just going to be like the easiest thing in the world for the government to just be like, yes, she gets custody over this child. Which, arguably, it should be just that easy anyway, regardless of his job. But doesn't matter. So he goes to Five Nights, or whatever it's called.
We'll just call it Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. No, do you know what? We'll piss people off. We'll call the place that it will call Freddy Fazbear's Five Nights of Freddy's.
Five Nights of Freddy's?
That's what we're calling it.
So this week we're watching Five Nights of Freddy's.
We watched five whole nights of Freddy's.
Yeah. Each night was slightly different. So Five Nights at Freddy's, he goes there and freaky stuff's happening. Obviously we know the games and you probably know the games, so you get the vibe. Creepy shit. And whilst on the job, he dreams. He keeps repeating the dream, but because he's now at Five Nights at Freddy's, the children. Oh yeah. So it's shut down because there were children.
That was supposed to be like a
brief summary. So children have died at Five Nights at Freddy's, and their ghosts are haunting.
His dreams.
Well, they're haunting his dreams, and they're haunting the animatronics. The animatronics. Which, again, if you've played these games, I'm sure you're aware of all of this. And they're like, "Oh, bring your sister here. We'll kill her, and we'll let you. If you do that, then we'll tell you who stole your brother." Spoilers, it was Matthew Lillard. You should have realized that when he recognized your last name.
Yeah. And when he was like, enjoy the night.
Yeah.
I'll speak to you in the morning.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Or when he was like, the owner of the place is very particular.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Also, Vanessa is the policewoman that just randomly shows up at points, which we'll get into why, I guess. But she's like, this place is creepy, yo. Also, it can be fun. We can have fun. But don't fucking touch that! Don't fucking touch that!
She's a little unhinged.
Yeah. At first I was like, man, she's a little unhinged. And then you're like, I guess you probably would be unhinged.
Yeah.
But
should we?
Let's get into it. You get the vibe.
And the gritty.
The nitty and the gritty. So, first up, right? So Matthew Lillard's thing is like, oh shit, that's that kid I nicked's brother. I remember that. I'll get him to work for me. Why?
Okay. So let's take it back a little, break it down. So, anyone listening to this is probably fairly familiar with the Five Nights at Freddy's lore. The whole idea is that, in the game, you had this mysterious kind of guy. I don't know if they called him Purple Suit Man or something at some point ages ago, but he would dress in this golden or this yellow bunny outfit. Just the same as the animatronics. He would dress as an animatronic and lure these five kids off and kill them all and stuff their bodies inside the animatronics. And the police apparently never found them. The line where they were like, the police searched every inch of this place from top to bottom. They left nothing unscathed. But the bodies were hidden in the one place they didn't think to look. And I'm like, what, the that big was, fucking animatronics on the
that's
stage?
That's the first place
the
I would look.
The first thing literally. You would ask.
The smelly, blood-ridden animatronics.
Yeah. The first thing you'd ask. And I know that it's like, that's what it was in the games as well, but I don't think the games kind of really
they're
emphasize
games.
The fact.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, that. She was just like, they'd never found them. The one place they didn't think to look. I would be like, do these have, what's the inside of these like? Are they, do they have like a storage space or anything or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Is there any chance you could stuff a child's a body inside child. It? Because I'll yeah. be honest.
What about the cupcake?
This, yeah, yeah. What's the cupcake about? But I'll be honest, these animatronics stink of rotting flesh. And yeah. that's a bit sus. And the guy's like.
Which apparently in the games is made note of that they stink or something. I can't remember.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Apparently.
So,
I think
yeah, that's
said.
Something we should preference. How much of the Five Nights Freddy's lore are you aware of?
So, I remember when I was younger, I say when I was younger as if it was like a super long time ago. It was a while back, to be fair. Fuck me, it is actually quite a while back. But, yeah, I remember back in school, you know, I watched the Markiplier playthroughs of most of it, I think. But I wasn't like super in tuned with the lore. I just knew that there was this guy and he kidnapped the children. You know, the animatronics are sort of, I don't know if it was necessarily in the first one that they really went with that or whether it was like later on that you kind of find out that the animatronics actually have the kind of spirits of the children and the bodies of the children inside them. Because the whole idea in the original game is that the animatronics roam around and they've got this like programming that if they see you, a person, a normal person, they think that you're the, what's it called? Is it endoskeleton? Something skeleton? The inside like skeleton.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
They think that you're basically
the innards.
Or no, maybe exoskeleton, but they think that you are one of them without the costume on. Right. So they're programming, they're like, well, we need to stuff you inside a costume. Unfortunately for you, stuffing you inside a costume would very much kill you because they are not designed to be stuffed into. Not all of them. Anyway.
Right.
So I knew that. I knew that side of things. I'd forgotten about that specific bit until somebody reminded me of it. And that's why it was more scary in the game, because the whole point was that they're coming to get you because they are like, even like the whole point is they're not, there isn't this mind behind them or this personality behind them. They are these juxtaposition of being a completely blank kind of robot being, but also they have this malicious intent that isn't really malicious, but that almost makes it worse because they're just so hell-bent on being like, buddy, I got to stuff you inside a fucking one of these animatronics.
So what's your... I'm jumping the gun.
Sure.
I'm interested sure. to know, for you, is this yeah. bad film good?
I've talked a couple of times at my work with some people about this, and I'll describe it as I did to them. For me, this movie felt like they tried to make a 15-rated kids film. And they had no idea what direction they wanted to go with it. They tried to set up some of the horror stuff that you have with Five Nights at Freddy's, then got to a point where they were like, oh, I don't know what to do. Let's just ditch that. And there was a point in this movie, and we'll talk about it, where I just went, what the fuck? They have killed any element of horror. This is no longer a horror movie. And what are they doing?
It is very weird. Like, I so...
Yeah.
So kind I, of like, I feel like bad they, film, not good
thing
for
is,
you, I guess.
Yeah, it's...
It's not...
It's a weird one, because I feel like I kind of... I was happy to sit there and watch it, but for a lot of the time I was doing the... I mean, I can't, like, show you, but I was doing... okay, here's a word. Flabbergasted. I was doing a flabbergasted expression for the majority of the second half of this movie, because every single time I would just... I would just like put my hands out to my friend, like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, don't do that. Oh my fucking God, they did it. That sort of thing. So I don't know if I really enjoyed it as much as what I enjoyed was the fact that I knew we were going to talk about it. And I was like, I can't wait to rip this film.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
So for me,
I don't think it was good.
So for me, I literally know I've played the first one maybe two times, as in I've not as in finished the game twice, as in literally probably round someone's house. They're like, let's play it. I get to the first night and die, and I'm like, fuck me, I didn't like that. And then did it again, did the same thing, and that's it. So I have no prior knowledge of any of the lore and stuff. And I was like,
I had at least a foundational understanding.
So
of the original stuff.
I'll preference this by saying, yeah, absolutely. I get what you're saying, like a kid's film that's a 15. It's not scary in the slightest.
There's a couple of jump scares that are arbitrary.
Yeah.
Big loud noise. And
you jump. We can talk about it in a bit more detail, but I wonder. Well, we'll get into that later. But yeah, it's not scary. But I was like, I wonder if you have prior knowledge to all the lore stuff, you're like, oh my God, this film is just lore stuff. So this, and I have no idea how much of it is like, oh, they didn't do that in the game, and like, that's wrong or whatever. But like, because I don't know any of it, I was like, I like all this lore stuff. Like, this story, I'm like, yeah, this is interesting, because it's all new to me. I'm like, yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
I'd see more of this for the lore. It's not scary in the slightest. But I would say that as much as I was going into it being like, this is meant to be a horror film, and it's just not, at a certain point, like, because you're playing it's the thing of like, you're converting a horror game into a film, but the horror game is like, I mean, look at the first one. It's as much of as jump scares and stuff. The game is, you're just clicking on cameras, and if they're there, they stop moving.
In a single space. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, after a while, I mean, if you try and do that in a film, after 10 minutes, the film's boring, like, because nothing's happening. So, from that sort of standpoint, I'm like, yeah, okay, I kind of like that they haven't done that, because if they did do that, it would be dead boring. Like,
yeah, of course.
And again, like you said, loud noise, jump scare, that's what the game is. Like, how many times can you do that in an hour and a half, however long this film is? Like, after a while, that's just going to get old, and there's only 5 animatronics or however many there are doing the same thing. Like, that's going to get real old real quick. So I think the issue it not being scary stems more from like the source material rather than this film. Having said that, some of this stuff is fucking, I was like, am I just not getting this because I don't know? Or is this just, like, nonsensical? Because of the stuff is just, like, what?
Yeah, no, okay, so first things first, this film is simultaneously extremely fan service driven, and also, I think, and again, not as a hardcore fan, and I know I've seen stuff from both sides, because I looked up people's opinions on it. But I think that they represented the game terribly. In a sense. Some bits, the animatronics look really good. I think that they did a really good job of portraying a lot of like the jankiness and stuff like that. The animatronics, I think was, I mean, again, we'll get to that in a minute.
But I think having them practical rather than CGI just 100%. Makes a whole like a massive difference. And probably was why it cost 20 million, not 100. But
yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. That like having them as actual practical stuff was definitely a smart move. But I feel like that what you were saying there was exactly what I feel like they were faced with as their dilemma. They were like, right, we want to make this movie, but we can't just make it him sat in an office checking cameras and shutting doors for an hour and a half, right? So we need to put more stuff in there. But I think that they completely overdid that, you know, or kind of overcomplicated it in a way. Because I feel like there's a way that you can make a horror film where you know, either him or a couple people or something, you know, stuck in this place, and there's a way to go about it that, you know, you can still have like fan service and things like that in it, and bits that people who know it will be like, oh, that's the thing, that's they're doing the thing that they do, and stuff like that. But while the whole thing to do with the dreams and stuff was interesting in its own right, and you could say, you know, okay, that's an interesting concept, they spend so much time in it. It is literally completely like it's nothing to do with the games.
Yeah, but
like as it, but it just kind of, it's one of these things where you're like, for example, he goes there for the first night and literally sleeps through the whole thing. He sleeps through the first night. There's like a little bit of like bzz, 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 or something, I don't know, like over the speakers, like always a little bit creepy, very lightly creepy. And you know, you pace it and you build it up, sure, that's great. But immediately, as soon as they did that, and they focused more on this other side of things, which is this more, you could say it's a more mature kind of thing where he's got this trauma that he's trying to deal with and stuff. Immediately, it kind of set me off wrong, because I was like, well, okay, hang on. This doesn't feel like they are, it feels like they didn't know what exactly to do with the Five Nights at Freddy's, like,
but it's premise. Also, and so
they took something
though.
Else. But again, it feels too disjointed, because you've got it kind of meant that they had this other part of the story they wanted to tell, and then what ends up happening in the film is they then take away from, I mean, we'll get to it as to them killing off the horror, but like that stuff might have been interesting. Although, I mean, again, I suppose it's down to personal preference as to, you know, watching him in the same fucking dream sequence like five times over and whatever. But that stuff might have been interesting, but they were trying to do too many things with the film. That, like, again, when I was talking to the guys at work, I was like, it's like they sat down and they were like, okay, so Five Nights at Freddy's, we got to make it scary. That's the core of the game. It's the core of the game is this tension. You're constantly tense, wondering where they're going to come from next. You know, you've got to keep yourself safe, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. We've got to have horror. But the core audience is like kind of, you know, 9 to 13 year olds, and then people who remembered it from back then as well. And like, it's kind of a younger audience and stuff. So we kind of have it too scary. Okay, so let's put a little bit of humor in there and comedy, like comedic bits now and then. But we can't have too much of that. We need to make it a little bit serious as well. Let's add like a serious kind of, like,
I don't know. I think that's kind of a thing to it as well. Way to be looking.
No,
at it,
no, okay, no, but it's difficult to describe. I'm surprised. I understand that because you don't know much of the source stuff at all, that it is different. I feel like it's the same kind of thing of me and one of the guys at work were talking about Resident Evil films today, and he, like, obviously we love how terrible they are and everything, but he had no perspective of having played the games and then watching the films and being like,
yeah, that's mine,
you know,
that's my,
that kind of thing. So that's how I that's kind of what I feel like has gone on here, because for me, there were too many different things going on, and it felt there was an interesting part to it, sure, but also there were so many elements of the story where there were massive plot holes. You were just like, it didn't seem like they really cared about stitching things together when you thought about it. They were just trying to get things through. One thing, for example, what the fuck happened to the aunt? She just died in their living room and nobody said anything? And literally the end of the... Like, what happened? Where did she go?
Well, so I wonder if she didn't die and that's going to come up in the second film, maybe.
But, I mean... It might be something that they fix with the second film.
Or she is dead and who cares?
But again, the whole...
The aunt, but sorry, why is no one looking into this place in general? I mean, like, oh, there's been about 20 different security guards. They work there for 5 days and then fucking disappear. Who's looking into this place?
I don't think they all die. I think some of them, we saw somebody in the beginning die, but some of them leave. But like, and again, it's like, I think it's owned by this guy, so he can just leave it being decrepit and whatever, and they can just say it has a high turnover. It's one of these things where...
Yeah, but when people are
it's
dying,
just a bullshit.
It's like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole... That's another whole just thing. But like in the beginning, the security guard is... They start off well. They've got this kind of, oh, it's creepy that he's being chased by the animatronics and stuff, which, by the way, again, they're so... I saw a good point about them being so... Like, they're so... what's the word? Like, it's the opposite of expressionless. Like, they have a lot of expression, which... Again, the knowing what the games are like and they're... You have this feeling of them being a... They're not supposed to be, like, a relatable... Oh, they're these poor kids, and it's really sad that this has happened to them. You find out about the story, and you're like, oh fuck, you know, that's awful. But that's part of the horror of it, and there's still these like cold, unfeeling machines kind of deal.
Yeah, that's okay. So let's get into that. That I don't know why we're keeping it like spoiler free, but that they
it was
they
just
have
to,
like
just
two nights
not
of
be
scariness.
All over the place.
And then they're like, "Oh no, they are actually good," and the daughter is like, on
"This
was
my main issue with the film."
The daughter's like, "No, they're friendly," and they're like,
"Not the daughter.
We are
sister,
friendly." And then
yeah,
or the sisters. Yeah, sorry, not the daughter. And you're like, "Okay, so we're not doing the horror thing anymore. That's
we're done with that right. now. That's right. that's gone. Yeah." yeah.
And I will say I was a bit like, ah, oh, that's a bit shit. But then
yeah,
but then
it blew my mind that they did that.
It's
genuinely.
Mental. But then I was like, you know what? This just isn't a horror film. Like, it's a thriller more than anything because it's more about the kid and like what happened to the missing children and why this is happening rather than them just jumping out and scaring you. Which for me. Is way more interesting. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, because if it was just an hour of, oh, the first night's a bit spooky, now it's five, you know, if it was literally Five Nights at Freddy's, I would be like, it's just a generic, like...
Yeah.
It's just a generic, boring jump scare film. Like,
but that's,
like,
yeah.
I could see that in any shit, like, fucking, you know... Blumhouse is maybe a bad example, but like half of the stuff that Blumhouse comes up with, where it's just like, oh, it's a poltergeist, boo! And you're like, the end of this, I'm like, I don't really care anymore. There's no substance to it. It's just, you're just watching something for it to jump out at you, and you're like, cool, nice. Like, that's what I'm saying about the substance material. Like, I think the problem is, the problem stems from you're making a film about Five Nights at Freddy's. There's just, unless you're doing the lore stuff, which is what they did, like, there's just nothing to it. There's no substance there. Like, how can you make an hour film about that? You have to include the lore stuff, because otherwise it's just boring.
Yeah,
and then
that's why
because the lore stuff is from a video game, and not just like, it's not like
fucking... pretty deep, though.
Yeah, it gets deep. Like, apparently, it gets deep, but like it's completely different. I mean, like you and I know as much as anyone that like a narrative in a game setting is completely different to a narrative in a screen, you know, like in a TV show or a film. It's like because it's passive versus
active
storytelling. So like the deep lore stuff is great because you're discovering it as you're going, you know, like where it's all, and it's just like it just doesn't translate. I don't think it translates well, and I don't think that they did a great job with all the lore stuff, but it was way more interesting than just not doing that. And then the most interesting bit to me, because I think the lore, the deep lore, quote unquote, is written by a guy making a game. I doubt that it's as narratively interesting as the thing with his brother who got kidnapped and stuff. So I'm kind of glad they included that. Even though it doesn't have anything to do with the game, it's like, yeah, but also it's a film with, like, five or however many games there are now, like, worth of lore. Like, are you just going to spend the whole time being like, okay, so this is this guy and this is, like, this guy? Because you have to come at it from a point of, all right, we know that like lots of people that love this lore and have played these games will know all of this shit already, but you can't make a film like that. You have to assume that the viewer knows nothing, so you have to be like,
yeah, no, for sure.
This is basic shit, and it has to be simple for the idiots watching this, because most people who watch films are dumb.
Yeah, very true. But that's the thing about this, is that I completely agree. Like, literally, I completely agree. But I don't think that they... I mean, it's like you said, I don't think that they did this in the best way. But I also don't think that it's, like... Obviously, you know, where you were saying it would just be boring if it's just him sat there for the whole fucking film and doing whatever. But I think that they could have... I can't just come up with it on the spot, obviously, but...
I can't come up with it. I can make it better.
No. But I'm saying that I don't think that it's one or the other. I think that they could have done the... They could have made it in so much of a better way that it is more... It's more subtle with the lore, if you know, which is the interesting parts that you work into it and stuff. But, like, you can have this scary place where... you know, he starts working there, things start getting suspicious. You have the subplot stuff, you know, at the side, like whatever that is that kind of breaks up the horror as he's going. But because there's different ways you can approach it. I mean, fucking who knows? He's some guy who's thinks he's losing his mind outside of work. He starts and then when he's there, it's all crazy, or I don't know. You could do all sorts of stuff with it, but it just felt to me like because they knew, they were so all over the place with the fact that they knew that their core audience, and they obviously had all this like fan service and things that they wanted to work into it and whatever. So they tried to like, I guess maybe like have the cake and eat it too. They wanted to try and do some of the horror stuff, but then also just put all this lore stuff in. But they kind of just like beat you over the head with it, with all this, you know, they kind of have the big exposition bit. And then they're like, oh, but look, these are the kids in the costumes, and the kids can't be bad because they're kids, poor things. Like, we just kind of feel sorry for them now. When I was like, I don't know, pick a direction, either make it, if it's a 15, make it a darker and grittier thing that's like, That it's scary, this idea that the kids are in the... Once you kind of figure it out, which again doesn't necessarily have to be a character that shows up and goes, years ago, this happened in this place and whatever. But it's just this kind of weird juxtaposition of the tone where like one minute you'll have, oh, it's scary and he's being chased by the You know, the people that break into the to Freddy Fazbear's, and then they're all getting hunted by the animatronics, and you're like, oh, this is great. Except they just, like, it's just shit. It's like the guy goes in the closet and he turns the light on and it's behind him, and you're like, oh, that's scary. And then it just cuts to a shot of the hallway and him going, ah! And then his hand goes on the window and there's like a bit of blood smear. And you're like,
it is weird. The rating is definitely a weird one.
Yeah, because I know in America it's PG-13, which maybe makes more sense. I don't know.
Oh, but really? Like, is it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I don't know what it is that made it
15 here.
Yeah, that's weird. I think this is definitely like, even the gory bits, quote unquote, they're not that gory. This should be a 12, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. I think the bit that really irked me the most was when they do the whole swap around where they build these things up to be creepy, be scary. Okay, look, they're cutting away and you don't get to see the gruesome kills. Sure. But then you also like see a woman get chomped in half as like a shadow at one point, which was wild. I was like, what the fuck? So you kind of have like, I'm like, okay. But it feels like they're building to something. They're doing a little bit more creepy stuff each night. Sure, they've got the side story bit with him and his brother. I'm like, okay, cool. Give him a reason to be there and to continue going there each night. Okay. Even though I was a bit like, okay, but he's just sort of falling asleep through the whole night. And which feels weird because I'm like, well, then if it's trying to be the whole thing of the animatronics want to get you and stuff and have that horror, then they're just not getting him and they're just leaving. Like the first night, one of them just like sneaks up. You don't see it, but he wakes up and he's got like a cut on his arm. So one of them just like snuck up in the night and like cut his arm and left or something.
But they
build up this. My point is that like they build up this kind of stuff as if you were going to get to the night where everything suddenly kicks off and it's going to be scary and whatever. And then they just drop all of it. And they're like, oh, look, now they're all building a fort together. And one of them falls over and they're like, are you okay? And then they put their thumb up. And you're like, what the fuck is this now? This is a completely different movie.
It's weird.
And that's why that was like the main bit for me that just completely shifted, where I was just like, it felt like they kind of copped out of it almost. You know what I mean? They were like, we want to make this scary film where, you know, he's got to survive the night and everything, but we don't know how to do that and not make it boring. So we want to add all this other stuff, which in itself is fine, but having it alongside that other scary stuff doesn't work when they suddenly, you know, drop the fucking curtain and they're like, oh, they're just poor misunderstood kids who are under the influence of an evil man and they want to have fun and we've removed all the horror from them. And like you said, it kind of has a little bit more of a thriller vibe than after that. But because they've already ruined all of my suspense, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And then I was kind of on board for like you said, funny enough, I had the same sort of thought where I was like, okay, so maybe we're just going to go along a kind of like, it's us versus this guy who's been mentioned a couple of times of like the person who actually killed those kids. But he just like shows up suddenly 5 minutes at the end. And again, there's no kind of horror there because he's just a guy in a big suit. And they're obviously setting it up so that he's, I mean, at the end, you know, the things turn on him, which by the way, again, the dumbest fucking thing in certain situations, like Kingdom Hearts, I'm all for the power of friendship, right? But they were literally just like, oh, kids, at the beginning of the movie, I keep picking up threads here, but at the beginning of the movie, they
I think we need to wrap this up, but
sure. But the point is, at the beginning of the movie, they have this thing where the teacher of his sister is talking to the main character, and she's like, oh, you see, kids love pictures, okay? And then has this whole speech about how pictures are really important for kids and all this kind of stuff.
Is that something from the game?
I don't think so.
Because I was
it's just their way of being like, remember, pictures are important, guys. We're setting this up. And I was like, they're going to solve the fucking day with pictures, aren't they? And
that was such fucking shit. That's one of the things where I was like, are you fucking for real?
Yeah.
She draws a picture and the guy's like, oh, fuck. And then that's it.
Yeah. So they have a picture of the Yellow Rabbit Man and all the kids looking happy on the board inside Freddy Fazbear's. So she goes there, takes it down, the little sister takes it down and draws a picture, which, by the way, quickest drawing ever, I guess, while he's stabbing his daughter to death in the corner.
To go, man.
She just drew this picture of him having killed the others very crudely, puts it on the board, and then all the other fucking animatronics go, huh? Now we're on your side. But like all that stuff just felt so kind of cop out. And I was just like, well, I just feel like you're just trying to rush. Like set all this stuff up and then have it where, you know, let's say, for example, the fucking Yellow Rabbit Man who ends up being the bad guy and it's Matthew Lillard and whatever. Have some fucking creepy shit where you see him in the background sometimes, but you don't know who he is. And then you can kind of build up to this kind of thing. And you have this idea that he's been there and at different points, and that he's not just like magically puts on the suit and shows up at the end and like work towards that stuff rather than trying to cram so many things in that they're just like, all right, we'll do a little bit of creepy stuff first. Then we'll drop all of that. Now they like these guys. And now fucking other Freddy Fazbear, which is, again, a lore thing that they just don't explain in the movie, so it doesn't make sense. This half-destroyed Freddy Fazbear, otherwise known as Golden Freddy in the lore, picks up the girl, gets in a fucking cab. I was like, what is this? They're just getting in a cab now? And then they drive to fucking Freddy Fazbear's because they want to kill the kid, etc.
Yeah, that was a bit confusing to me. So they could just leave.
That wasn't the same Freddy. I think the idea, as far as I'm aware, I think that he was like not actually there, maybe, and that he's like a spirit kind of thing. Because that blonde kid, there were five kids, right? But I don't think one of them was actually supposed to be the cupcake. I think the cupcake was just supposed to be an extension of the duck.
Right.
One. Because I think the fifth one and the one that he talks to all the time is the broken looking Freddy that shows up at the house and probably kills the aunt. That's the blonde kid that he speaks to in the dreams and whatever.
Right.
And look, you know, if they kind of take all these threads and do something with it in the next one, then that's great. But it just did feel kind of like they wanted to do a lot of different things, but they didn't cohesively all put it together. And so they build up tension. And as soon as you lose all of that, you kind of lose most of what I was invested in the film. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is this kind of kids, like weird fan? It's almost like a fucking fan fiction. Like Freddy comes around the corner and then, oh, Freddy, please don't kill me. I'm your biggest fan. Oh, really? And, you know, I don't know, some shit. You're just like, what is this?
Yeah. I don't
know. That whole thing fucked me off.
Look, I
that's my rant.
We've gone on for quite a long time, but before we finish, let's
a decent
just,
amount, I think.
A long time. Let's just get into... There's a couple things that I was like, I need to pick apart that plot hole. Because, first of all,
love them.
The auntie, right? Why? Yeah. Like, so her thing, the woman that played, the auntie, I don't know why I keep calling her the woman auntie. She wants, the whole point for her to be like, I want custody of the girl is for money. But first of all, it seems like she's well off because she's always like in fancy clothes, smartly dressed, wearing jewelry. So I was like, does she even need this fucking money? And also,
It would just make more sense if she blames the guy, or if she blames fucking what's his face
Hutchison. For
yeah, yeah, Josh Hutchison.
Mike is his name.
Mike. That if she blames Mike for losing his brother, and then subsequently blames him for her sister. We don't know how the relationship is, but let's assume it's her sister who was his mum.
Hmm.
She blames him for her sister killing herself, so doesn't trust him with her niece. That would make way more sense. But no, they're like, she wants money. She wants money.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Because
there's a point as well when she. So you've got a lady who babysits, or at least has been doing some babysitting. She seems to be like a friend. She just is there in one scene, yeah, and then is just kind of like she's babysitting the kid, his sister, while he does night shift work. Because originally he said to Matthew Lillard, "I don't do night shifts," and then he obviously has to go and say like, "Okay, fine, I'll do it." Because there's never the other options. So he's got somebody to look after her, and then it turns out that the aunt had already gotten to her beforehand, I guess so. And had said, tried to get her to find any kind of dirt on him that they could use to get the thing across. But there's a point when she says that she would pay them, like, £1,000 to go and wreck the place where he works to try and get him fired. And yeah. I was like, so why do you want this child paycheck?
Yeah, exactly.
It is the like the shittiest. Like, even if they had just said that she wants the child out of spite, like just out of like she hated her sister, or like you said that she hates him because her sister died, yeah. And or she's just a fucking asshole and she wants to raise the child in her way, and or she just hates him. Whatever, any of those reasons are absolutely fine. But the whole monetary thing, it just
makes no doesn't sense. Fly.
And then, but like her entire, I had an issue with her entire role in the movie because again, it felt like something that they put in there, and it's like an unfinished thought. I think that that is how I felt about a lot of the different threads in this movie, because it feels like they put her in there as a tool to do her bit, which was literally only to force. It's obviously the fact that he needs to get a job and whatever, but he needs that anyway. So it's not like you really need her putting pressure on for that, because you can just say that he's running out of money. He needs to support himself and his sister, but they put her in there just so that she can get those guys to wreck the place, so that he's forced to have his sister stay with him at the place, because the only person that he was having babysit her was now chopped in half by Freddy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was why is she there? And then she kind of pops up a bit later again and then gets either knocked out or killed by Freddy, and we never see her again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all a bit. It's yeah. Good stuff. But also,
the other thing.
Go on.
The other thing, which is less of a plot hole, right, and more, because I wonder if this will just like be something that's more of a plot point in the second film or whenever. But so
yeah,
so
or
it third turns
or fourth or however third many or fourth, of these yeah. fucking things they make.
Hey man, if it costs 20 million, it's made 150.
Fuck
almost.
Me, yeah.
Like why million. Not? So it turns out that Shaggy, well, obviously, because the guy was like, I recognize you. You should work in Freddy.
Yeah.
Five Nights of Freddy's. Of
Freddy's.
So it turns out Matthew Lillard was the guy who kidnapped and subsequently killed his brother. But so here's. Yeah. I have two problems with that.
Like what? Is this 20 years ago or something?
Yeah. 20 years ago or something. So I have two problems with that. If he's like, oh shit, that guy, that there's a slight possible chance that guy is going to figure me out and realize that I'm the one who kidnapped the child. Even though I've got away with it, it's been 20 years, there's absolutely no way he would be ever be able to work it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him work for me in the one place that
yeah.
has all my deepest, darkest secrets. I was like, yeah. this guy has no knowledge of this place even existing. If you're like, yeah. I can't find your job, sorry, mate. That's yeah. it. Done. He doesn't need to do any of this shit. I don't understand why he hired him.
Honestly.
But the second thing, the bigger thing, is so Shaggy killed his brother, but...
Killed Mike's brother, yeah.
Kills Mike's brother, but he's not one of the ghosts, obviously, because Mike would have recognized him in his dream. Be like, oh shit, you're one of the... Right, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So this guy's killed him separately to Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, so the idea is that... So one of the guys at work said to me that apparently there's some theories that... You know the little balloon boy that shows up now and then?
Yes.
And that's literally the only jump scare in the whole thing. So yeah. I think that's in the second game you have Balloon Boy, who's like an actual full-sized animatronic. And there's apparently some theories that it might be like alluding to the idea that his brother, if they're making sequels, his brother's probably going to show up as an animatronic.
Yeah, 100%.
And they're going to have some bullshit fucking like his brother does the... It's like the fucking velociraptors in Jurassic World or whatever where... Blue comes to save him in the end because she loves him really, or whatever fucking thing. You know what I mean? They all, a lot of things seem to do that these days. So, which exactly? Being now in this position, you're like, well, I can't wait for them to do that because it's gonna be fucking awful. But there are some theories. I think that you know they might do something with that, like down the line. But the idea is that the kids that went missing, that are in the animatronics, went missing. Like
at Freddy's.
Freddy's. Right? I don't know if they all went miss. Were supposed to have gone missing like at the same time because you see it in the beginning in the like intro, like
yeah,
title
yeah,
sequence
yeah.
and stuff.
I like
he snatches
that,
them one by
the
one,
way.
Which was cool. Which was yeah, cool. I like that. But yeah, it's. I mean, that sort of stuff is unclear. But the real question, where you were saying about him, like, why would he bring him on board and stuff? A wider question to ask, if he has a daughter on the police force, why hire anybody to look after that place? Because
for one,
who's going to break it? Okay, so maybe some like kids are going to fucking break in or something one time.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, install some heavy duty fucking, if you can pay for people to be there, install heavy duty shit on there if you want. And then if you've got your daughter who seems to be maybe like kind of working with him to some degree, like she knows everything that he's done.
I thought
she's not luring people there.
No, but I thought she was when she's like, he's like, oh, the owner's a bit freaky and stuff. I was like, well, he's the owner. But then later on in the film, I was like, oh, is it Vanessa who's technically the owner? Because I wondered if she was hiring the security guards to get people not to go in. Because this guy's a murderer. Why would he care if people broke in and got killed by the animatronics? He wouldn't give a shit. So, like...
Well, I suppose the more people that... You'd think that it would have already been found out, but I suppose the more people that go missing in that, around that place, the more it's going to get looked into. And if they're just dead bodies lying around, then somebody's going to find out. But yeah, it is like, why hire security guards at all, really? Like, and there's lots of kind of plot holes surrounding that stuff. I mean, even the whole Vanessa thing, apparently she's not even a character until the more recent Five Nights at Freddy's stuff. I will say, before I even watched the film, when I sat down in the cinema, I thought to myself, man, I haven't looked at anything to do with Five Nights at Freddy's for ages, but I remembered that the lore sounded kind of interesting back then when I'd watched like a couple of games through. And it kind of made me want to go back and be like, what was the story behind it all, and how does it all fit in now and stuff, you know?
Well, that's why
at least
I liked
it kind of
this.
Made me feel like that.
That's what I was saying about why I liked it, because I liked them.
Yeah. But again, those bits by themselves are all fine, but I just feel like they just mashed them together wrong, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, but also, why, with the security guard in the beginning, and they do this again later with Josh Hutcherson's character, what's the whole deal with the mask and the spinning blades and whatever and the saw contraption shit? What is that? What is that about?
Yeah, what's that for?
What's it for? So they knock out the security guard. They do this again. They do the same with Josh Hutcherson. They knock him out, like drag him over to the thing and strap him into this.
No. Isn't it because I don't know why they've got fucking blades inside them? But isn't it because they're trying to get more brothers and sisters, right? They're trying to put him in the animatronic, but it's not going to work because he's not a kid. So that's why they want his sister.
No, but at no point do they... It's only once they, like, play with the sister and whatever, and then they're like, all right, we want the sister. And then they're like, okay, we're going to put her in this animatronic suit and make her just like us and whatever. But they don't have any kind of, like... It's not like they... always have this, they establish this idea that they want everyone to be like them and whatever. It's more specifically that they play with the sister, they have a whole thing, and then they're like, oh, we want her to be like us. Like, that security guard in the beginning, they killed him. They didn't make him like them. They just... And they weren't trying to put him in a suit and do whatever.
That's how it does.
No, well, they just put a spinning blade mask on his face, but like it's
but
not
that's
like
the whole
like
thing.
No, but with the girl, they had like a doll suit that they wanted to actually stuff her into.
Yeah,
but they do the same then with Josh Hutcherson later to just try and kill him because they've just got like a spinning blade mask. But they never have this idea. Like, it's not like you have a thing where they're like, join us or anything like that, or we want you to. It just seemed weird, like they just wanted to have some sort of horror element of the suit, but then there wasn't really a reason behind it. Because the thing with the sister, I mean, that wasn't like what they wanted to do initially. Otherwise they would have done it on that first night. They would have grabbed her and stuffed her in a suit. It was all played and had fun or whatever, and they never did it to the... You kind of get the impression with these kids in these spirit kids in the suits and whatever, that, you know, they attack the people who come in and try and destroy the place because they don't like them, and maybe they attack the security guards because they end up not liking them or whatever, but they don't attack Vanessa because she's nice to them and whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's just all over the place.
Yeah,
also, Vanessa at one point is looking at these... Before they start going super crazy and she's kind of giving Josh Hutcherson the tour, she looks at the animatronic suits and she's like, aren't they just the most beautiful things you've ever seen? Or
she's
something
just
like that.
Unhinged,
or the most lovely things they've ever seen. Knowing full well that there are
her
dead
dad,
children inside
man,
them.
Her dad, I think we'd all be a bit unhinged if we had.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is all fucked up.
But
she plays with them and has fun with the fort building and stuff. And then her and Josh Hutcherson go off for a second, and she's like, bring her back here, Evra, and I'll fucking shoot you in the
face.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't believe you brought her here. And he's like, bro, you were just playing with them. But, we know what we think.
I think that's everything. I do wish I could have had notes so I could remember certain... I'm sure there were just certain moments, like, something would happen, and I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, the little cupcake, all sorts. Yeah.
But, look, that is just about everything that we got. Next week, we are doing The Hottie and the Naughty.
Yes. Although Aiden and I have already done that.
No, don't tell them. You're breaking them.
No, we told them on the last one.
Oh, we did.
Or was
actually,
that the next one or, for
was
them?
Was that the next was it... one? Ooh, two, spooky! Two spooky!
Ooh, spooky! Yeah, let's remember that it's this is going to release after Fireworks Day, but it's still Halloween, guys.
Halloween!
So don't forget
our
to
Halloween
have a spooky
episode
time.
Was Thunderbirds. But
the scariest. You see, fucking Ben, what's his face's eyes? Scary in that.
Yeah, fucking scary man. Yeah. But yeah, that's about everything. If you want to keep up to date, we are on Instagram and nothing else, basically. So we put little close ups when we remember.
Yeah,
and that's not a dig at you, because I forget to send you the.
We are both equally bad at remembering to do this.
But as always, we'll leave you with. Hang on, just bear with me a second.
Oh, you'll get it. You'll get it.
AI wars, baby. It's where we get an inspirational quote from a Spirobot and put it up against an inspirational meme from Image.
Inspirational meme? I don't know about that.
This one's inspirational.
Unhinged, maybe.
I think I went first last week, maybe.
I thought I went first last week.
Can you remember that? Because if you remember that, then I'll go first.
I don't remember what it was that I did, but I was under the impression that I went first last week.
Sweet.
Also, to first. You guys, last week for us is like two episodes time. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't fucking know. But
who cares?
But
wait, this means
the scores are also fucked.
The scores are also fucked.
It doesn't
so
matter.
Because we've recorded the other ones in advance, the scores for those ones will be different. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's not say what the score ends up being this time, otherwise we spoil what it ends up being in the other ones.
But you can probably work it out if you whatever.
We'll just say who wins.
Mine is it's the SpongeBob meme doing the chicken dance. But that's not massively relevant. Because the text just said shitting on the couch.
Oh.
Not sitting, shitting.
Shitting on the couch.
Doing the chicken.
Thank you for that demonstration.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
So I've got like a very passionate image, actually, to be honest. You've got you've got a sun in the background that's obscured by the clouds. So it's very kind of, it's getting like a nice diffusion on the sun coming through. It's kind of golden hour. You've got that kind of goldeny brown background. No idea where these two people are, because most of the frame is the two of them about to lock lips in an embrace. Looks like the guy's at least shirtless. Who knows? Maybe she is too. Could be a little saucy. Could be a little randy. And it just says on the front, kind of overlaying their silhouettes, it says, "You are being a pleasure grabber." Grab that pleasure.
Grab that pleasure. I know what he's trying to say.
Grab her right in the pleasure.
All right. I won't tell you what the score is.
Yeah.
But you get the point for that.
Yeah. Yes. I almost thought it'd be a draw, but
it took me a long time. I liked Pleasure Grabber as well.
Shitting on the couch.
But yeah, so we'll leave you with, as always,
you
belong
outro.
With me karaoke
no,
version.
I had forgotten.
By Taylor Swift
I had forgotten.
Played
no.
through my phone.
You tricked me by letting me rant about it. No, you can't play it. We're gonna get fucking
copyright on the phone.
Taken.
You're on the phone with your girlfriend. She's upset. She's going off about something that you said.
Am I still
because she doesn't get your humor like I do.
I'm in the room in a typical Tuesday night. I'm listening
Stop
to
it. The bit's over.
She doesn't like.
This is too
and
long.
She'll never know your story like I do.
I only hear half of this because Discord cuts out with
she
the music.
She wears short skirt, I wear t-shirt. She's cheer captain and I'm on the bleachers. Dream about the day when you will wake up. Fuck me, it's too fast. I can't read that fast.
I'll just let you sing it out.
If you can see that I'm the only one who understands you've been here all the long.
Wait,
so why
you
can't
stop?
You see?
I can't hear it.
You
it just cuts out on Discord.
Me.
You just go silent.
You belong with me, Deeks.
Thanks, buddy.